Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Full Sail University. Full Sail offers both online and campus degree programs centered on real-world experiences in the entertainment, media, arts, and technology industries. For more information, visit fullsail.edu/know-how. And by Lynda.com. Learn what you want when you want with access to over 2,400 high-quality online courses, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit lynda.com/know-how. That's lynda.com/know-how. Today on Know-How, we get rid of mosquitoes. Brian's going to show you all about action cameras. Then we take you to Maker Faire. Drive it like you stole it. That's what the kids are saying, right?
Don't steal.
Know-How does not approve the cool crime of stealing.
Welcome to Know-How. It's the Twitch show where we bend, build, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
For the next half hour or so, we're going to show you some of the projects that we've been working on so that maybe you can go forth and geek.
That's right. But yeah. Before we do that, we'll talk about some cool news.
Killing
insects.
Okay, now, here's a little story. I covered this on Padres Corner not too long ago. Every creature on Earth has a purpose. In the food chain, right? I mean, yeah. There's always some way that it fits in and it makes the biosphere a little bit better.
Right.
But some researchers over at Rutgers recently figured out that the mosquito
is completely useless.
Totally
it's just a pain
useless.
In the butt for everything living on the planet.
Yeah, like there are a lot of insects that provide biomass, right? They're just food for other animals to eat. But insects provide such a negligible amount of biomass compared to all the disease that they spread that Rutgers is trying to figure out, how is it that this creature has continued to survive when it's not needed?
Okay, and so taking it out wouldn't be too much of a problem?
Exactly.
As far as the ecosystem is concerned.
Well, it's not just that it wouldn't be a problem. It'd be awesome if we could eliminate mosquitoes. But here's the problem.
So insect genocide. Insect
genocide would be awesome. But we know that mosquitoes are difficult to get rid of. In fact, right. Most of our mosquito abatement projects have focused on treating them, right? You inoculate people against malaria or dengue fever.
Right.
Or you do things like what we did down in Central America when we were building the Panama Canal, which is you either drain big bodies of water or you put some sort of pesticide / oil on the surface to stop them from breeding. So you're not really killing the mosquitoes. You're just preventing them from multiplying.
What are they, gestating going from the larva to the flying?
The baby mosquitoes.
They're not that cute.
No, they're not. They're totally not cute. Okay, so that's all good and all, but the problem with that is we don't really like throwing pesticides and oils onto bodies of water, and you can't drain every bog and stagnant pool of water. It's just not practical.
Right.
Now, if you look overseas, we right now know that there's about 1 million people who die each year because of mosquito-borne diseases,
right.
Specifically malaria and dengue fever. Now, there's a man by the name of Pranav Agarwal who he did a little bit of research on his own. And what he found was that when you look at the death rates, where you look at where you're seeing the deaths, you're talking about a lot of countries that have issues with still stagnant water. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, that's where you're going to get mosquitoes breeding. Well, in his research, he started looking at the bodies of water that were actually near him. And what he found was fascinating. He found that you could have the same body of water, like a pond or a lake. And in the area where there were a lot of leaves, you got these mosquitoes, right? You got these mosquitoes growing, and they were being birthed.
Right.
But the second you added any air agitation, little surface ripples, like you see in the video
fall away.
Yeah, it falls away, and it disrupts the birth cycle. It disrupts the larval stage. And so you don't need a whole lot of surface agitation to destroy a mosquito breeding ground. In the video right now, you see the difference between a place where there are a lot of mosquitoes being born and a place where there are no mosquitoes being born.
Right. Like in the video, you can just see there's a couple of ripples. It doesn't look like it's very much at all.
Exactly. And that's actually a good thing. He's taking advantage of that with what I think is an absolutely brilliant, brilliant device. And it's right up our alley because it's a homebrew, it's a maker thing. And he did it right. So what he did was, and Alex, if you could show the B-roll on this, he created a little device, costs less than $20, has a solar cell on top, combined with custom electronics, a battery, and an air pump. This thing floats on any body of water, uses the solar cell to charge a battery, and then it aerates the water. And as you can see in the video, it just generates little ripples,
right?
Just little ripples. There's a timer in there, so it stops after 10 minutes, so it doesn't work down the battery, so that a day charge of sunlight can keep it going throughout the day.
Wow.
And the cool thing about this, those ripples are enough to disrupt the birth cycle of mosquitoes.
That's pretty cool. Who would know that that was such an insidious killing machine?
I know, right? Exactly. This little thing that generates ripples in a pond is going to stop mosquitoes from being born, which in turn could save millions and millions of people, you know, over a decade. Now, the cool thing about this, I mean, this is something that we can make.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Do you think maybe we should put together our own version of this?
Should we build a little pond in Twit and see fill it with mosquitoes?
We've got Jeff Needles now, so.
Oh, yeah, we can test it on him, then.
You can ask him. Actually, just put him in a pool and see if it drives him away. No, right. but what the cool thing would be to see is if we could actually hit that magical $10, $20 price point. I did a little bit of searching, and because none of the components are quite what they need to be for that little project, I couldn't get anything under $60. But I think we should keep trying, and maybe we can build something about the same price.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a fun project. And I'm sure if it did catch on and it was sort of streamlined, you know, that they could bring down the price for it.
Right, right. Well, exactly. So once you get it into some sort of volume,
some sort of production,
and people, are making parts specifically for this kind of application, that'd be great. Now, there are a few things I saw about the project. First was he was using a commercial, like Tupperware type thing, which is fine, except in direct sunlight, those things start to break down easily.
Wear out, yeah.
And you don't need much of a hole to sink your solar panel to the bottom.
Oh, you sunk my mosquito killer.
Exactly. And I also, I had an idea for making the container, like a Pelican case, putting it at the bottom, but then putting the pump and the solar cell and make it the floating device. And the cool thing, it would give you an anchor so that it's more difficult for people to steal.
So it doesn't float around, too.
It doesn't float around.
It stuck on
stuff. Right, you just put it in the center.
Oh,
all the batteries are in that sunken base, and then the solar cell and the input for the pump float up top.
That would be pretty cool.
That actually would kind of work.
Good idea. Let's work on this.
I think so.
We're going to save the world.
We are going to save the world one mosquito at a time. Now, Brian, you know how else we can save the world?
What's that?
Knowledge.
Knowledge?
Knowledge.
Like an online learning course?
Like an online learning course. Now, we here at KnowHow, we like learning, right? I mean, that's what the whole show's about.
That's what we try to do,
what we try to do. I mean, in fact, we just drop some knowledge on you about mosquitoes and how to get rid of them.
Knowledge bomb.
Knowledge. We drop knowledge into your knowledge hole. And you know who else drops knowledge into your knowledge hole?
Who's that?
Full Sail University.
Ah, I've heard of these guys.
Yeah. So they're one of the up-and-coming new guys on the block. Well, actually, they've been around for a while. They're one of the up-and-coming stars of online education. Now, the idea is, why not absorb that knowledge in a classroom-style lesson, but from the comfort of your own home?
And get a degree or something?
And get a degree. That's right. That's what Full Sail University is all about, and we are proud to welcome them to KnowHow. Now, Full Sail University is all about the processes, the things that you need to learn about to be effective in today's business world. Things like big data, the information gathered through business technology and processes. It provides companies with tremendous potential when it comes to how they make their decisions. And it also creates a need for skilled professionals who translate this information into strategies and results. That's what Full Sail tries to do. They try to give you the hooks, the skills that you need to turn that big data, those processes into something useful, something that makes you important. Now, Full Sail University offers an online master's degree program in business intelligence, which can teach you that skill set to becoming a professional in the big data field. In this accelerated master's program, you'll learn how to collect, manage, mine, analyze, and interpret big data through the industry's tools, software, and technologies. You'll also be able to demonstrate your abilities as a business intelligence professional by conducting your own research and presenting your findings and recommendations, giving you experience that you can take into the real world. Full Sail University's online and campus degree programs are centered on real-world education and experience with industry technology and workflow. In other words, they try to give you a real-world experience. They don't want to give you just something that only works in a classroom. They want to make sure that they're imparting skills upon you that you could use in the real workforce, and that's what they're good at. Now, Full Sail University also, through their innovative curriculum, allows you to earn your master's degree in just 12 months. So here's what we want you to do. If you love knowledge, and we know you do because you're watching Know How, try Full Sail University. In addition to business intelligence, Full Sail University offers a variety of master's degrees in related fields, including internet marketing and innovation and entrepreneurship. To learn more about Full Sail's master's degree program in business intelligence or any of their related programs, check out fullsail.edu/knowhow. That's fullsail.edu/knowhow. And we thank Full Sail University for their support of Know How.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, you see my wonderful tan?
Yes. You do seem like you're glowing today.
I may have accidentally taken in too much of the sun's solar radiation.
I absorbed like a sponge.
Yeah. But I wasn't on the beach. I was actually at Maker Fair.
Right.
Down in
right.
San Mateo. You were supposed to join me, but you had a Terps.
My little puppy, he broke a tooth and I had to take him to the vet, so I wasn't able to make it. But it sounds like you enjoyed it enough for the both of us.
I did, and I got more than enough sun for the both of us. Yeah. There were a lot of things inside. The big pavilions in the San Mateo County Fairgrounds. But I and my crew spent most of our time outdoors because that's where I find the freaky stuff. And I lack me some of the freaky stuff.
Yeah, I know all too well. So,
well, how about this? I thought, for all the good people out there who weren't able to get over to San Mateo and go to Maker Faire themselves, what do you say we throw them a little bone and show them what Maker's all about?
I'm Father Robert Ballas here, the digital Jesuit for TWiT TV, here at Maker Faire 2014. A lot of people think that Maker Faire is all about being outdoors, and indeed, most of the exhibits are out in the sun. But here in the dark hall, you'll find all sorts of glowy, sparky exhibits, things like LED squares that glow and, Tesla coils. Let's go take a look.
So we're basically this crazy mad scientist rock and roll group, and we tour around several countries, with these machines here called Tesla coils. And we've engineered them in a way that they actually play music. So basically, lightning bolt comes out here, and then music comes from the lightning. And it's really cool, and we'll show you in a second. But you may notice that there's this giant human-sized cage in between the Tesla coils. And what we do with this is we grab random audience participants and shove them in the cage and make them dance for our own amusement. So, hey, guys in the cage, you guys, did you feel anything in there? Cool, we fixed it.
I'm at the Ford booth where they're bringing back a little bit of nostalgia for geeks of a certain age. You may remember building one of these. Now, this little block of wood is actually a high-performance race car. It's the Pinewood Derby. The idea is to take your block of wood, along with some pins and some wheels, and turn it into a high-performance competition vehicle. Now, over the next couple of minutes, I'm going to show you some of the steps that you need to go through in order to build yourself a viable Pinewood Derby car. And maybe I'll win a couple of races. Is quite possibly the crappiest Pinewood Derby car ever constructed. Believe it or not, there's a method for this. I'm not just making that a crooked wheel just because.
This is horrible. Oh my god.
I would get thrown out of the Cub Scouts. Now, a lot of the kids are going to be designing their cars with special features. I've included a halo and a giraffe, along with a lot of Ford stickers, because I think that's going to give me the best chance to win the Derby. Now, this seemingly poorly put together Pinewood Derby car actually has some very innovative features. The first thing is, you see how the tires are bent? That's not a defect. You actually want to keep one of the wheels off the ground. Believe it or not, that actually decreases the amount of rolling friction. There's very minimum air friction that you're going to get off a Pinewood Derby car, but the friction you get from the wheels touching the track actually does incur a little bit of a penalty. So if you bend one wheel up, it's going to keep it off the ground as it runs down that slot, and in turn, it's going to decrease the amount of rolling friction. The other thing that you're going to see is the front left wheel is actually slightly cambered inwards. The reason for that is it's going to force the car to ride up against the track, against the slot. The reason why you want to do that is because you don't want your car bouncing back and forth on that track. You want it to actually ride the ridge. Now, this is a really tricky way to run it, because if you do it too much, you're going to increase the amount of friction. You're not going to run at all. If you do it too little, you're going to end up bouncing back and forth. So we're going to take this car and we're going to put it on the track and see if any of my sort of home shop theories work in the Pinewood Derby.
1, 2, 3, go! On your mark, get set, go!
What?
Exactly, Brian. What?
Booyah!
Booyah! See, I know in the chat room, like, oh my god, that's janky. This was on purpose. This, again, built in less than 5 minutes, but from my days doing the Pinewood Derby as a Cub Scout, these were the things that got me banned from competition.
It's not janky. That's a feature.
It
also runs on the tears of the broken Boy Scouts.
Well, that's why it's heavy, because they cried as I kicked them out of there. I feel, by the way, Ford, thank you so very much for letting me tape in your booth, and thank you for kicking everybody else out so we could do it.
Right. And then beating their engineers. That was a good thing.
But those cars, by the way, were not made by the boys and girls coming to the booth. They were made by the Ford engineers. And, you know, they were like the test cars to show people what was possible on the track.
So they were putting graphene on the axles.
They had graphene. And they had, now, by the way, when you want graphene, you really got to get graphene. The pencil?
Not totally did not. So good. You tried that?
That's right. I tried it from one and like, it's not coming off at all.
Like you needed it. Man, yeah. I mean, you were lengths ahead.
That's the thing. This looks like such a weird design to people who are like, why are your wheels uneven and they're bent? And it actually works.
Right.
When you have them out like this, it pushes the wheels to the edges of the posts rather than letting them go back and forth. I mean, if the pin was straight across, the wheel would want to slide back and forth. And every time it rubs against the body, it's going to slow down the car.
The friction, yeah.
Right. And also this way, you're always riding on the edge of the wheels, and you're only riding on the edge of three wheels. This fourth wheel only touches the track,
right,
if it kind of bounces down. And the big thing, though, for me, this is the one that made the most difference when I was still building these as a kid. This wheel on the left-hand side has to be ever so slightly bent inwards, because then it kisses the side of the rail so you don't lose energy when it bounces back and forth.
The thing I like about this the most is you look at it and you just like, this is ridiculous. And then you see what it does and it's like, oh my god.
That was the same.
There was a thought
the engineers,
that.
You can hear them laughing in the back of the video. They're like, Okay. And actually, we cut out the point, but at one point, I think, like, the booth manager came over. She's like, so are you, like, you're building this for, like, comic relief? And I'm like, sure. But in the back, I was like,
who's number one?
Just wait.
Who's number one? Yeah, they didn't know what to expect when they were coming against the priest. Well,
that's why they ran it twice, because they're like, there must have been something wrong with the start. Right. And the second time, it was even further. I'm like, want to go again? I might beat you by the entire track this time.
But I wouldn't recommend doing that to your everyday car. Probably,
no.
Unless you're driving on slots.
No, actually, I would recommend this. So everybody, I want you to tow out the wheels on your car.
Well, I have seen cars that do that with the offset camber.
Yeah,
like
but now have one wheel that's actually off the ground. And
turn your car into a trike.
And so that's how you make a Pinewood Derby car.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to be bringing more and more maker segments. Like I said, we have a total of five that I'm going to pull from the footage because there are some very interesting projects that we saw there. Everything from conductive ink. So if you've ever wanted a fast prototype something. Ooh. To a structure that can be collapsed down into I think it was 8 foot by 12 foot by 3 foot high stack so that you could put like 20 of them in the back of a 40 foot trailer and build a temporary city. I mean, they're temporary single residency occupancy houses.
Cool.
To things like someone who built his own quadcopter, and he's going to explain some of the secrets, some of the ways that he was able to do that.
Very neat. What about an octopus that shoots flames from its tentacles?
We see that every year. It's also a Burning Man.
That's cool.
It is a cool thing, and I met the guy, and he's so cool. Our footage doesn't do that octopus justice, because if you get close enough, you realize that every single piece of that octopus is someone's junk. Like, he took all this junk and cut it up and turned it into a sculpture that actually works.
That's cool.
I got nothing but respect.
I don't know about that cage, though, with the electricity. I think I'm fine with not getting too close
to that. Well, we have Jeff Needle, so maybe we can try.
How's it feel, Jeff? It's shocking.
Actually, I think that's our new running joke. Anytime we need something dangerous done. Jeff!
I don't think he's around. I think he knows that we're going to do something.
Not going to be here. Yeah. But you know what? If you did want to do your own projects, and if you did want to get them on KnowHow, you can always go to our G+ page. You can always make sure that we know whatever project that you're working on. And just in case you want to make sure that your footage turns out right, I'm suggesting that maybe you should take a look at the second sponsor of KnowHow. That's lynda.com, because they can give you the knowledge that you need to turn any project, any video footage, any piece of art into something that's presentable. That's what they do. They give you the knowledge that you want when you need it. Now, Lynda helps you keep up to date with software. It helps you learn brand new skills. It helps you explore new hobbies like, Pinewood Derby, with easy-to-follow video tutorials. Whether you want to make the most out of your camera gear, learn the latest version of Photoshop, or edit your own video footage using Final Cut Pro or Premiere, lynda.com offers thousands of courses in a variety of topics. At lynda.com, you can watch and learn how to attach a GoPro to a quadcopter in their weekly series called DSLR Video Tips. This course covers the most common questions videographers encounter when shooting and editing with DSLR cameras. You could also turn your laptop into a live performance instrument and learn to play backing tracks, process vocals, and loop sounds with MainStage. New releases include 3D printing with Photoshop, where you can learn how to prepare and print your 3D models with Photoshop, and up and running with Square Register, where you can learn how to start taking payments anywhere with Square Register, the payment processing solution that's perfect for small businesses. Now, personally, I have loved their Adobe Premiere series of videos. Most recently, I've been playing around with their series on how to make really good time-lapse photography, because you know this. It's more than just setting up your camera and going. You have to find the right vista. You have to find the right frame. You have to find the right color balance. And, of course, you have to use the right cameras. Well, Lynda lets you know all of that. And they can take away some of the guesswork, some of the trial and error, and set you down the path to write. That's what we like about lynda.com. Now, lynda.com has over 2,400 courses with more added weekly. All lynda.com courses are produced at the highest quality, not like those homemade videos on YouTube, which we love. I mean, we're part of that, but there's something that's nice, that's extra special about having good lighting, good sound, good camera work. Now, lynda.com works with software companies to provide you the latest updated skills for all the newest versions of software to hit the market, so you'll always have the latest set. The instructors are accomplished professionals at the top of their fields and passionate about teaching. They're not just people who do book learning. They've actually done it in the real world, and they know what you need to succeed. Linda offers courses for all experience levels, beginners, intermediate, and advanced, and you can watch from your computer, tablet, or mobile device. Whether you have 15 minutes or 15 hours, each course is structured so that you can learn from start to finish with Linda.com. You can also search the transcripts, which is one of my favorite features because it means you don't have to scrub through an entire video to find the one thing that you need to know. You can look through the transcript, jump to that part of the video, and you're good to go. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to try Linda.com. You can learn something new with Linda.com. It's only $25 a month for access to the entire Linda.com course library. Or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructor's projects using the exact same assets. And you can try Linda.com right now with a free 7-day trial. Visit Linda.com/knowhow. That's Linda.com/knowhow to access the entire library. That's over 2,400 courses free for 7 days. It's all at lynda.com/knowhow. And we thank Linda for their support of KnowHow. Wow, Brian, you know, talking about Linda has made me kind of want to do some action photography.
Yeah, I really get excited about something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe now, these action cams.
How about that? You are kind of our resident expert on all things action cam. I mean, you do all our GoPro reviews. You did the Papa GoGo reviews. You're kind of, this is your thing, right? It's your jam.
I think that's mostly because I go outside occasionally. And
this is what happens when I go outside. Yeah. I'm not going out anymore.
I'm wearing like full gear when I'm out on my motorcycle. So that definitely helps. But yeah, I don't know. I got started at Twit doing reviews on the GoPro. And then, you know, every successive year they come out with a new one. So I've got the Hero 2, I've got the Black Edition and the Silver Edition of the GoPros, and also most recently this is a Papa Go, which looks a little bit different.
It's like a bullet cam type thing. Now, okay, let's start out with something really simple, because I know there's a lot of people who have heard about GoPro. In fact, I use a black and a silver whenever I go scuba diving.
Yeah.
Well, I used to use a silver until I went down too deep and I cracked the housing.
Oh, that's right. How deep did you go?
They're not pressure rated very deep. It was only like 97 feet.
Oh, 97 feet. That's all, huh?
Yeah, I think they ranged to like 60 or something.
Okay. I've never taken one that deep.
I'm just happy it wasn't the black because, it really messed up the silver. Oh. No, but people wonder about all the different versions. I mean, why are there so many different? Because right now, if you just take the ones they've got, there's the white, the silver, and the black.
Right.
But there was also like the original, then the two, and the three, and then the Hero.
Right.
What's the difference between the line?
Really what the difference is like, you know, with any other gadgets, every year they come out with a newer version, either it's smaller or it does more stuff. And really like the most recent update was the Black Edition, which was like their big step up from the Hero 2.
Because it did 4K.
Does 4K, it does 1080 at 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
It does 720 at 120 frames per second. So, and it's the closest that the GoPros have come to looking like professional cameras. Like you can match it up with other DSLRs and stuff like that.
Although I have to say on the black, the features I enjoy the most are the 1080p at 60 frames a second.
Yes.
So if I need to slow down, I have actually got some footage
to work
with.
I have a demonstration of that.
Yeah, yeah. And I also like the Pro 2. It's got really, really good intelligence built into it for how it sets its balance, its brightness, its white balance. The one thing I wasn't so big on, you know, 4K was a big selling point.
Yes.
It's kind of unusable 4K.
Well, it's 4K at 12 frames per second. So, but which actually, if you use it correctly, like as in a time lapse, which we talked about.
Or like as a sunset camera. It's got to be something moving incredibly slowly.
Really slow.
Otherwise, you get
it. But it works great for time lapses because you don't need more than a few frames per second. Like you take one shot every 10 seconds or something like that. And if you do it at 4K, then you can also do like a pan in and a zoom and stuff. And we talked about that a few episodes ago where we actually attached the GoPro to a little timer. So it spins.
I remember that.
And it came out pretty good. That's one thing to use GoPros for. And Alex, if you roll that B-roll I gave you, I like to use it a lot on the side of my helmet. So I have one of the sticky mounts on the GoPro right now attached to the side of my helmet. And it gives you, when you use it like this, it gives you a full view of the road and stuff. Some people put it on top of their helmet.
You've got the best point of view shots. I got nothing to match this.
I see people put them on the top of their head, and it's the farther away from the ground it is, the slower it makes you look like you're going.
That's why you do that. Okay, that makes sense now.
Right here, I'm using the chest mount with a strap and stuff. And this I like to use for to get a little bit lower, but also your body acts as a natural stabilizer. So that's why you never want to attach it directly to handlebars or something like that that's shaking a lot.
Aren't you not supposed to do that to your tires?
Well, hey, Padre, when you're saving the mean streets of Petaluma, you do whatever you have to. But see, I recorded here. This is actually at 120 frames, and I slowed it down, so everything looks cooler in slow motion.
That's very nice.
So these GoPro cameras are really flexible depending on what you want to do, and the new ones have really good low light.
I love aerial footage. The thing is, I hate driving with that. Oh.
Yeah, and there we are. We're flying. Yeah.
Wow.
But see, you can use, with the suction cup mount, you could also use it as a dash cam. But really, GoPros, you want to just use to record stuff that you're going to make footage out of. And like you were saying, the underwater stuff, the new GoPros.
Oh, this is a great shot. Oh. Okay, now, where's this mounted? On the bike? On you?
This is actually mounted to an M3 going around the Sonoma Raceway track. And the audio is to give you an example of what it sounds like. So you get a little bit of the engine noise.
This is a different housing, right? This is not using the watertight housing?
No, it was using
the
watertight housing. Yeah. And see, if you... the downside about the GoPro is if you attach it to your helmet like I have there,
America!
You look like
GoPro!
You look like an astronaut. And you look kind of strange.
Okay, now this one. So you've got... You use a second camera, the Papagogo or Papago.
Yeah, this is a silly name. But the Papago is the company, and this is their Go Life Extreme camera. And this is more directed towards, like, if you wanted to just record your commute. Because the video...
It's like a dashboard cam.
It's like a dashboard cam, yeah. But it's a smaller form factor, something a little bit more discreet. So for example, I put it on the bottom of the bike there. I wouldn't be able to do that usually with a GoPro because they're kind of bulky.
Yeah, this is a bit more aerodynamic. You don't have to worry about the wind ripping it off and tossing it down the road.
Now, if you wanted to record just your daily commute, I would recommend this. And this is one of the Papago dedicated dash cams that we borrowed. And especially if you drive like Burke and you almost hit people on a regular basis, you'd probably want to have that.
Was that real?
That was real. He was in Leo's car.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so especially...
Needles!
This is some Russian footage for a reason of why you might want a dash cam. Mm. But see, like a GoPro wouldn't be good for this because you need a dedicated dash cam where it cycles the recording.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, you'll just fill the memory on a GoPro.
Right.
If you forget, then suddenly you're no longer taking video.
Exactly. So that's a dash cam is perfect for that. And, you know, the resolution is 1080, but it's not as good looking as a GoPro. So... this is actually some footage from Karsten's commute earlier in the week. But it would be a waste to use a GoPro for this.
Right.
So you'd want...
That's actually not that bad. I mean, I thought the footage was going to be pretty craptacular.
It's not bad.
That's not horrible.
No. I mean, it's fine for what it is. And it actually has GPS, so it'll track where you've gone, and it'll do your speed. So, like, in case you had an accident at a certain area.
So the GoPro definitely doesn't do that.
No, and one of the cool things about this dash cam is that if you do get in an accident, it has a G sensor so that it'll automatically save the recording.
Okay.
Instead of cycling over it.
So
if it detects
it registers an event. Something happened, and I should probably save that information.
Right. Nice. But this isn't an action cam. So if this falls off your motorcycle, it's not going to survive.
Right.
So, and there's a few different... the nice thing about GoPros is they come with different mounts. So, like, if you're doing any kind of motorsport thing, you definitely want the suction cup mount. And that's kind of a double-edged sword with GoPros because...
But, I mean,
the accessories
you'd only want
expensive.
This if it's, like, inside the car, right?
Well, you could do it to the window.
I would not trust a suction cup mount outside a car.
Oh, no, it works awesome.
Really?
I mean, that track video was just a suction cup on the hood. Because they do come with sticky mounts. Like, I have this timer using a sticky mount. These do not come off. Like, if you want to stick it to something permanently, use the sticky mount. But if you have a flat, clean surface, then use the suction cup.
So when you use this, you attach it to your helmet like that, right?
I do, yeah.
And again, this is actually a really good point. I'm glad that you brought this out, which was you don't want it on the top of your helmet because then it gives you that uncomfortably high look.
Right.
Like that looking down vantage point. Whereas this... on the side, still gives you a pretty decent point of view.
Yeah, and it makes it feel more intimate, like you're actually riding the bike.
Was there anything you found important when you wanted to get stable shots? Because I know one of the things I ran into when I was trying to use a GoPro was my body is shaking because I'm jiggling. And, you know,
right.
What
right.
can I do to try to get a steadier shot?
Well, naturally, if you have it attached to your head or something like that, your neck and your head act like a stabilizer. So that's why when I want smooth video, I usually have it attached to my helmet. But like I showed with the dirt bike, like it shook a little bit, but it was way better than trying to put it on the handlebars.
Okay, your body acts like a stabilizer.
Exactly. So you might shake a lot, but maybe that's you. No. But it works better if you have it attached.
Padre stabilizer. Stabilizer
Padre.
Estre.
The Padre.
There we go. Okay. So, all right. Now, let's break it down for the people. Because there are those who are going to look at this. They're going to watch a segment. They're going to go, okay, well, So does that mean GoPro is really the... Because it sounds like you're really heavy on the GoPro. You like the GoPro.
I do like
is
the GoPro.
Is that really the only one they should be looking at?
No. I mean, it comes down to what you want to do. Because, all right, so if you're going to do underwater stuff, not 90 feet deep water stuff,
man.
But if you wanted to do some pool action, you know, over the summer, you'd want to pick up one of the newer GoPros with the flat lens.
Oh, what's that for?
So if you go to the overhead, Al, the older GoPros this
like bubble
round, which gives you a really good field of view.
It's a wide angle, wide lens, yeah.
But as soon as you go underwater, it loses focus.
Oh.
So it looks really fuzzy. So if you want to do any underwater stuff, so like Leo was going on a scuba diving trip and he brought one of these and it didn't come out that great. And you can get an attachment that has like a flat screen for this, but it's like GoPro has so many accessories that it gets pretty expensive. So just save yourself some time if you're going to do underwater stuff. Get the newer one with the flat lens and everything looks amazing underwater. Well, it's a little murky in that pool. And
I have some really good GoPro footage from Cozumel. I took it with the 4K and with all the tropical fish going by. It actually is.
An underwater time lapse would be awesome.
What I did was I found a cove where all the fish would be because they're skittish, right?
Right.
And I planted it. I staked it into the sand and I left it there for an hour.
Oh, cool.
And when it came back, it's nice. It's amazing footage.
Well, so there's one thing. They've come out with the Hero Pluses, which is basically the same cameras as the Black and stuff, but they're smaller form factor. And I've heard rumors that the 4 is going to be coming out soon. So if anyone's in the market, maybe just wait a little bit until maybe the 4 comes out and the price comes down on these older GoPros. But one thing to note with the Black, which is the nicest, top of the line, I love to use the Black, but the battery life is
it's horrible.
Crummy.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about the Black, what I found, and maybe this was, they said there was a firmware issue at some point.
Right.
But it was so inconsistent. I mean, sometimes the battery would last for an hour, and sometimes it would be dead after 10 minutes, and I could never figure out what it was. And it was all, there was something wrong with the software, and sometimes it would just overtax the battery.
Well, what happened to me when I first started using this, the Black Edition, was it would freeze. Like, I would try recording, it'd get really hot, and it would freeze.
Yep.
And so one of the first things I did was update the firmware. And that seemed to help a lot. Like, I haven't had it freeze on me since. But when you're doing 1080 at 60 frames per second, I don't remember how big the battery is in this. I think it's like a 2100 milliamp battery. Mm-hmm. It dies in like 40 minutes. So you really, you can't just leave it on. Which is why I wouldn't recommend it as a dash cam or trying to record your commute. Because that's why you'd want, the Papa Go.
Okay.
It's much more discreet. The battery lasts a lot longer. The video isn't as great. But if you're not going to be making action videos, it's not a big deal.
Well, okay, let's break it down for the good boys and girls at home, because this is a lot of information to throw at them. and, you know, again, thank you, because you are a guru about all things action cam. Where would you say the divisions would be? I personally like the GoPro series just because of the accessories. It's kind of like the iPhone when it first came out, which is it just had all the cool toys.
It does.
Every kind of attachment has been created for the GoPro series.
And if you're willing to pay the price, because they do get kind of pricey, then you have a lot of options available.
Right. But if you had $600 available, get a GoPro and a bunch of accessories.
Right.
If you didn't, what would you suggest? All the action cameras that you've looked at.
If you want an action camera and you're on a budget and you're not going to be doing underwater stuff, I think probably the best deal is the Hero 2 Motorsport.
Okay.
So this one's a little bit older, and it does have the round lens, but It has pretty decent battery life, about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on what you're doing. And it comes with suction cup and a bunch of other mounts. I think it retails for around $230.
Yeah, and I've actually even seen those on eBay for like the $150 range.
So you could, and the video looks, it looks pretty good. It uses a smaller sensor.
It's passable.
It's, yeah. Well, it's definitely passable. I mean, I've used the Hero 2 for a lot of stuff, and I like it a lot. It's just, if you want to do professional video and you don't mind spending around like $400, then the black is very nice.
It's pretty.
But if you're not going to be editing videos or doing like, you know, serious action stuff, then something like the Papa Go that is discreet, it's $200, and if you just want to record your commute, that's what I would recommend.
And this one would just be if you were seriously
in your
considering a crash.
Right. And you didn't want the...
If you live in Russia, grab one of these.
If you're worried about insurance fraud or people jumping up on your hood, then you should get one of those.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. That's a lot of knowledge about action cams. I thought maybe we should keep the automotive is different. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's that. Automotive theme going on. Have you heard about ODB2?
Yes, I have heard about it. That's what my car uses.
Yeah, it uses these things, right?
Yep, it can plug right into it, right?
Now, I've been playing around with a couple of these devices. If you go ahead and run that B-roll, this is the ScanGauge 2. I got this thing, I think, 7 years ago.
Wow.
It's still useful today. All of these devices work off of the onboard data port. It's right underneath your dash. It's supposed to be within 4 feet of the driver's side door, so just look around within 4 feet, and it plugs right in. Now, the cool thing about all these devices is you're now pulling data directly from your car's computer, directly from your car's electronics. And the type of data that you can pull is incredibly useful.
That's awesome.
You can get everything from, your RPM to to how many gallons per hour you're using, to how many miles per gallon it thinks that you're going to be able to get. It's kind of a little game for me,
cool.
To be able to see it and realize how your car is performing in real time.
Those are the little details that I like to geek out on. I want to do that with my motors.
Now, this is a self-contained device. I mean, this is designed to be it. This is all you get. You get the cable, you get the device, you plug it in, and you go. In a future episode of Know How, I've been playing around with this. I got this thing for $6 off of Amazon, and all it is an OBD2 connector and a USB port.
Now, what are you going to do with that, Padre?
Well, theoretically, if you combine this with Coding 101, I should be able to pull data off my onboard computer and represent it any way I want it on my laptop.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So you think this is now, imagine that on my touchscreen laptop so I can, in real time, say what I want to monitor.
Oh, yeah.
And these are free. I mean, when this came out, this was something like $250.
And you got that for
$6. This is $6, right. Now, of course, you don't get the sort of self-contained module so that everything is contained within one little thing. You have to use a laptop. But what's nice about both of these things, have you ever had the check warning light come on your car?
Yes. You have to take it in and it costs like a couple $100 for them to check it.
To say, oh yeah, your gas cap was loose.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was
kind of annoying. No, but this will read the code. So you can, and again, combined with the laptop, you could have it loaded with the entire index. So it will tell you exactly what's wrong. And then with a flick of a button, you can hit clear, and it will just...
And that'll fix your car.
Well, it'll fix the car.
Get rid
it'll
of
just
the,
turn the
yeah.
light off. Yeah. So if it says major transmission error, and you're like, turn off light. It doesn't fix the transmission.
It went away, right?
It's out of sight, out of mind.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Again, this is one of those few... We're going to be teasing projects at the end of every episode of Know How, and...
keep you interested, hopefully.
This is one of the things that we definitely want to play with. Now, next week... I know we promised you that we were going to do feedback this week. We decided to push it back a little bit.
We changed it up on you.
We changed
Keep
it
you
up
on your
just because of Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And also because we wanted to give you more time to submit to the G+ group. There are a lot of really good questions. There are a lot of really good projects. But next week, we're doing a battle royale for all feedback.
Oh.
Yeah. Where did they go?
Well, you can go to G+, or if you're on Google Plus, search Know How, because I forget that link off the top of my head every time.
Yeah, it's like gplus.to/twitkh.
That's right.
That's what it is. Just go there. Make sure you join the community. It's an absolutely vibrant community. The nice thing about the G+ community is that you have makers, you have DIYers, you have noobs, and it's a nice little place to be. I mean, if you're interested at all, That's where you should be.
Well, and people post their projects on there, too, all the time, and they're usually better than the ones that we did, which is kind of irritating, but, like, that Nintendo Pi project, we had someone post their project on there, and it was so cool. They used a 3D printer for stuff, and, yeah.
So if you
do a project from watching the show, share it with us. We'd love to see them.
It made us look so amateur.
Whatever.
I don't like that.
Well, nobody's going to build a better Pinewood thing.
Yeah,
than
well... I think the rule is the worse your car looks, the faster it's going
to
go.
That applies to real life, too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And if you put more stickers on it, the faster it goes.
Well, it's scientifically proven. Stickers,
five horsepower per sticker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Just
but,
get a whole roll, and it's like nitrous.
If you wanted to learn more about the show or you missed something, you could always go to twit.tv/KH, where all our past episodes live, and we keep very detailed show notes, so you can go over those and check out why Padres Pinewood Derby thing looks so janky but goes so fast.
Exactly. I'll give you all the physics. I'll give you the know-how. That's... Whoa.
Uh-huh.
I just got why our show's called that.
I love it when the title is read into a movie.
Yes. And I love it when I'm shining a laser into the camera. Also, folks, you can also follow us on Twitter. You can find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. That's at PadreSJ. Follow me. You find out what I do here on Know How, Coding 101, my show on Monday called This Week in Enterprise Tech, and on Padres Corner on Fridays, which will be an official show very, very soon.
He's taking over the network.
I am. One show at a time.
Yeah. Twit SJ.
Mm-hmm. Where can they find you?
They can also find me on twitter.com/cranky_hippo, where I post lots of things from my GoPro about, you know, my motorcycle and my corgi.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we have a challenge for you. This is something you need to take seriously. Yes. What we need you to do after you watch the show, no matter when you may watch it, go to Twitter and write to our TD.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Alex Gumpel. His Twitter address is at ANELF3. ANELF3. And tell him that you would like to ride in his plane. Mm-hmm. One lucky winner will go up with Alex.
I'm going to submit my name.
I'm going to submit like three times.
Keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah. I never approved this.
I know. But we said it on air, so now it's true.
It's totally true.
It's totally true.
He rules the TD desk with an iron fist.
Yes, this is how we get him back. Until next time, I think that's a lot of material, so I'm Father Robert Ballasair.
I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know. That was my line.
Go do this.
That works.